Well, being 6 o'clock, and I said we'd start this at 6, welcome everybody to the committee, and hopefully our friends from the Senate will show up. Secretary Simon, you wanted to... Secretary Simon, hopefully our friends from the Senate will show up so that we can give us an offer. It's their turn to come back and forth, and I guess if there's anything you'd like to speak on the bill.
Well, I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, to those who bothered to show up tonight. I hope that the others will show up. It's, I think, the least that they can do. Mr. Chair and members and staff and all assembled, I want our election system to be as secure as possible. And I know that most people in this room share that goal and that vision of our system. Unfortunately, Senator Kiffmeyer, your opposite number in the Senate, and her majority colleagues in the state Senate have decided to limit Minnesota's access to federal election security funding. Let me just repeat that and let that sink in. The Minnesota Senate majority is actively choosing to leave our elections vulnerable to attack. That's what this is. And I'm not overstating. That's exactly what's going on here. It's an active choice. No one put a gun to their head, and they are choosing to take that reckless path. So in 2016, just to repeat, our election system was attacked by a foreign government. The intelligence community has said unanimously, repeatedly, and recently that the threat will be as big or bigger in 2020. Let me repeat that. The threat will be as big or bigger in the upcoming presidential election. That's why Congress and President Trump gave us $6.6 million for election security. Yet, Minnesota is now the only state in the United States not to get this security funding, provided, I will remind you, by then Speaker Paul Ryan, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and President Trump. Senator Kiffmeyer introduced a bill in early January that would have authorized Minnesota to increase our election security. Yet for reasons unknown that she has not disclosed, she chose instead to push a later filed bill that will make our elections less secure by limiting access to these funds. When Senator Kiffmeyer first tried to limit access to these federal funds, she said it was part of a deal with the Minnesota House. When it was clear to everyone that she was mistaken, that there was no deal and there never had been a deal to limit access to these funds, she then changed her story. This time, she said that the Senate had all along meant that only a fraction of the funds would be released. That was the position all along, she said. When confronted with statements, multiple statements, by Leader Gazelka that that was not, in fact, the Senate's position all along, she changed her story again. This time, she said the delay was because the Senate had questions. Questions, she said, about the content of our proposal for spending this money. But despite two hearings in her own committee and multiple other opportunities, neither she nor any member of the Senate has made known to us what their questions or suggestions or answers really are. And tonight, as you can see, they haven't even bothered to show up. Now, all of us are busy. I have another engagement tonight. I'm sure many of you do as well. It's a tough time at the legislature. People are pulled in multiple directions, but all of you have seen fit to elevate this subject matter enough that you bothered to show your face to a noticed conference committee. They have not, at least so far. So I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm calling on people of good conscience in the Senate to work with their Republican and DFL colleagues in the House to pass this plan out of conference so that we can all get to work on securing the 2020 election. We have to put our country over party. The stakes are too high for us to forget that before we are Republicans or Democrats, we are all Minnesotans and we are all Americans. That's why I partnered last year with Republican and Democratic legislators and experts and people from all levels of government in Minnesota to develop a detailed security plan using the $6.6 million in federal funds. This is a good investment in our democracy, and that plan passed the floor of the House of Representatives 105-23. Including majorities of both caucuses. This was not and never needed to be a partisan issue. The Senate majority is now blocking Minnesota from having access to these funds and is putting the security of our elections in danger. It is bad faith. It is bad politics. It is bad for Minnesotans. We have urgent work to do, and we are already a year behind. This money was appropriated and made available to us almost a year ago. It didn't happen at the end of last session because of the end of session problems that had nothing to do with this bill or this issue area at all. And now I reiterate, we are the only state in America not to receive our share of this federal election security money. So if this is a political game, it's a very, very dangerous game. And I will just say this. I'm certainly not naive. I served 10 years in the Minnesota House of Representatives alongside many of you. I understand that some things are left to the end of session. I understand that sometimes people want things to remain on the table for trading or bargaining purposes. I get how it works. I've been here. If that's what's going on, it is still reckless. This isn't trading a bonding project or a provision in the tax bill or a policy provision. This is about national security. And if you don't believe me, ask the Secretary of Homeland Security. Ask the Director of National Intelligence. Ask the head of FBI counterintelligence what they think the threat is and what they think we in Minnesota and the nation need to be doing right now, yesterday, in fact, to be able to safeguard our elections. It's not me. It's the federal intelligence officials who are telling us over and over again with certainty that we have to be ready. So if that's worth a piece of a bonding project, or if that's worth the provision in the tax bill, or if that's worth some election policy bill, then that's a sad statement about what this place has become. This is important. This is vital. Election security is national security and vice versa. And I'm here to tell you I've been in those briefings. I've been in those secure briefings, and I've been in those classified intelligence briefings, including one last month in Washington, D.C. And if you knew what I knew, you would feel the same way that I did. And I just think it's a shame, Mr. Chair, that senators couldn't be bothered to show up tonight to at least discuss this issue. It tells me that they are embarrassed, they are ashamed, and if they're not embarrassed and ashamed for themselves, I'm embarrassed and ashamed for them as an American and as a Minnesotan. So it's time that we get on with business. This shouldn't be trade bait, if that's what it is. And if the Senate is too cowardly to show up tonight or any other night to explain their position and to explain what it is they object to, if anything, in this plan, then that says more about them than it does about anything else. So I hope they'll show up tonight. I'm not optimistic that they will. And I think this sort of cat and mouse political game must end for election security, for national security, and for our election system. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Secretary Simon. Any questions of the Secretary? Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I really don't have questions for the Secretary, but I would like to say that I think it was former U.S. Senator Arthur Vandenberg, who was a Republican from Michigan. He's often quoted as having said, politics must stop at the water's edge. And that was back in 1948. He recognized the need to set all partisan differences aside when addressing an attack or threatening attack on our country by a foreign government. As you mentioned, multiple federal intelligence and law enforcement agencies, including Department of Homeland Security, have long held that our state election systems were attacked by Russian operatives. 49 states are currently using the federal funds made available by Congress to protect their systems from future attacks. Minnesota is the only state where partisan politics have prevented state and local elected officials from using that $6.6 million of federal dollars to protect our system. We need to hear the advice of the late Senator Vandenberg. The politics that are being played out in Minnesota to prevent us from securing our elections from attacks by foreign governments must stop. Politics must stop at the water's edge. All Minnesota lawmakers must put aside their partisan differences to protect our elections and the personal data of over 5 million Minnesotans who are or have been registered to vote in Minnesota federal, state, and local elections. And I think it's time that we sit down to make sure that Minnesota elections are secure. We don't have a lot of time before the next election. And if we don't get what is really one-third of the money in place for our local counties and cities for the cyber training they need, as well as their ability to improve their security and accessibility of elections, our 2020 elections will be in question. And I agree with you, Mr. Secretary, that if this is a game of chicken, this is a very dangerous game of chicken. So I would hope that the Senate would join us. We put forward a couple offers. I think both of them were very reasonable. as a way of beginning a conversation. And unfortunately, we have not been able to engage the conversation. So I hope that we engage the conversation soon to make sure that we get the money allocated to be sure that our elections in 2020 are safe and secure for all Minnesotans. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary Simon.
Thank you. I just want to repeat again that, you know, a lot of people's work went into this blueprint for how to spend the money. As I've said many times before, but I just want to repeat for the record, when this didn't happen at the end of last legislative session, we didn't sulk, we didn't mope, we didn't cry. We picked ourselves off the floor, and we went and we did a working group. Not required by federal law, state law. Nobody asked us to do it. We just did it. So we came up with a plan working with you, Mr. Chair. You showed up to a number of those meetings. So did you, Chair Dean, show up to a number of those meetings, and so did legislators from both sides of the aisle, as well as people from counties, cities, townships, the IT experts, people from the disability community. And we, over many months, as you know, because you were there, we came up with a plan. We divided into five subcommittees, and they then in turn met, and we came up with a unified plan. And that plan has been on legislators' desks since late November. So the time to have raised questions or made suggestions or shared criticisms would have started then. But here we are almost April, and we don't have even a penny of that money. And for no good reason, right? No one's shared a reason with us about what they think we included that we shouldn't have or something we didn't include that we should have, and the clock is ticking. And every day that goes by, we have a target on our back in Minnesota because, again, we are the only state in the country that doesn't have this money. It's federal money. All we need is permission slip language from the legislature in order to authorize and access this federal money, and we haven't gotten it almost a year after the money was made available. And we have a plan, and if anyone has a quibble with the plan, any line or comma of it, we're happy to engage. But so far we haven't been able to engage because there's been no constructive comments forthcoming. And that's really sad, and it's a sad statement about what's going on here.
Well, Secretary Simon, I know last year, and you mentioned it, it was in the big prime, but the big omnibus bill, some people call it omnibus prime.
Right.
Senate file 5686, I believe, was the number on it. I could be wrong on the number, but anyway, the bill, it wasn't in that one that got vetoed by the governor.
Right.
Were you given a reason by the governor or by either the House or the Senate last year why they didn't include it in the second omnibus bill that came forward, that why it wasn't included in that? Because this is important, right? And I know Senator Gazelka, Majority Leader Gazelka, and the Speaker Hortman have said that stuff that was in that omnibus bill last year that got vetoed, that was agreed upon by both parties, would be passed and come forward. Have you been given any reason why it wasn't last fall or last year and why it hasn't come forward this year?
Mr. Chair, no, I haven't. As a matter of fact, there is no good reason, in my judgment, you know, at the risk of fighting old fights. You know, we have smart people in this room of both political parties and persuasions in this room all across the political perspective, spectrum, I should say. But this provision was added to the omnibus bill after Governor Dayton had already made clear for over 100 reasons over multiple letters that he was going to veto that bill. Now, there are smart and thoughtful people in this room who think that he should sign that bill, and smart and thoughtful people in this room who think he should have vetoed that bill. That's not the point. We all knew he was going to veto the bill. So the Senate, even last year, made the decision, a conscious decision, to heap this on that pile. You know, when I explain this outside of the Capitol, when I explain it to lay people who aren't familiar with the legislative process, what I tell them is that they use a term in the legislature called a vehicle. And it's a great metaphor, because if you have an idea for a bill, any legislation, and you want to get that bill from point A to point B, point A being an idea in your head, point B to being signed into law, it's got to travel from point A to point B, and it needs a vehicle. That vehicle can be its own bill. That vehicle can mean it hitches a ride on something else. And what I tell lay people when I talk about this issue is that I implored leaders of the Senate, and by the way, the House leadership, under Speaker Dowd, I want to give credit where it's due. Speaker Dowd, Representative O'Driscoll, Representative Nash, they were solid. They were great. They were really helpful. So I want to make that very clear. That's why this isn't a partisan issue. It's more an institutional House versus Senate issue. And maybe there are some hints of partisanship. I'll let others determine whether that's true. But I want to be very clear that then Speaker Dowd and the other legislators I mentioned were fantastic allies, really got this issue. But in the Senate, I implored them, And when I talk about this with people outside the Capitol, I say, look, it's called a vehicle for the for a reason. And what I said to the senators and the Senate leadership at the end of last session was, put it on any vehicle, a car, a truck, a tank, a plane, a paper airplane, any vehicle you want. Just please do me one favor. Don't put it on the Titanic. Don't put it on the Titanic. You know what the Titanic is. The governor has already said that he's going to veto this bill. And you may think that's wrong. You may think it's stubborn and unreasonable. But he said he's going to do it. He's probably going to do it. That's the Titanic. Any other vehicle, scooter, Vespa, truck, anything, give me anything, put it on anything. I'll hitch a ride anywhere. Please just don't put it on the Titanic. And what did the Senate do? They put it on the Titanic, knowingly and consciously. So when I hear that the governor vetoed this, that's technically true, but that was a choice that was made. This thing could have been done in 10 minutes, 10 minutes, as a standalone bill, and we had the vehicles ready to go. It was a Representative O'Driscoll bill. 10 minutes, you could have gotten this off the House floor, and another 10 minutes, maybe 15 on the Senate floor, good to go at the end of session. But a choice was made not to do that. And in fact, not only not to do that, but to load it onto the omnibus bill, which we all knew was doomed. So, you know, there's blame to be had here. I'm not so interested in fighting the old fights, but since you asked, I'll tell you my opinion. I'm interested in looking forward, but it's time for the games to stop. The games have been going on now for nearly a year, and at a real cost. We are last in the nation now to get this money, and that is totally avoidable right this minute. And unfortunately, there's no one in this room from the Senate. They didn't even bother to show up. They couldn't be bothered. So this is a continuation of some real dangerous game playing, which is hurting our national security.
Well, and I know we've talked, and the House side, we made a couple of offers in the beginning. At the first meeting, we offered to meet halfway between the dollar amount on the House position and the Senate position. That was roundly rejected. Then we came back with an offer. We'll give you the money that was in the Senate bill, which was similar to the money that was in last year's bill, and then put a provision in there that by the end of session, the money's not passed, that the money gets to the Secretary of State's office, because we all realize it's important to get this started. Again, as you said, March 23rd last year is when it was passed. We're almost to that date today.
Right.
Here, the first day of spring, and we still haven't passed this bill that allowing to increase the election security for all of our citizens. Any other questions? Is there anybody else in the audience that wants to speak? Representative Dean.
I have a question just because I think this is an unusual situation. I mean, it's now almost 6:20. We convened at 6 o'clock. Do we wait till 6:30? Do we wait till 7? Do we wait till 8? I have no idea what we do and when and why we would adjourn, having come into convening this committee.
Well, I'm not sure here. I guess I can ask Senate staff. They were kind enough to show up. And have you heard anything from the senators when they're going to show up or if they're going to show up?
I haven't heard anything either way.
I don't know. It's frustrating. I know the gavel goes back and forth. Last week, when we were at the first weekend, when we were at the first deadline, I could understand we didn't hold a couple meetings because we were trying to be conscious of all the people's stuff that needed to get done by first deadlines to keep bills alive. And then the big snowstorm that was that weekend, I could have called a meeting on Saturday, and I didn't because I was trying to be kind to the people who live farther out, that you're talking 15 inches of snow possibly in the area. I didn't want people driving in that and getting stuck and forcing staff to come here at that. But on the nights that since then we've had that has been the Senate's chance to call the meeting, we haven't heard anything from them. And so I called the meeting tonight, and we need to start talking about this. We need to change offers. We've given two offers to the Senate. I'm hoping for an offer from them, or at least an offer to come talk. And I haven't heard anything from anybody on the Senate, from the chair from the Senate. So I don't know how long we're going to stay here.
Mr. Chair, I mean, we have some rules for the committee, and obviously we don't have a majority on the other body, so any motions or any actions we take are not really, you know, valid or authorized. You know, so making a motion to adjourn maybe even not be in order. I don't know. It just seems that, you know, we're sitting here, and, you know, we've all got lots of work to do, even though, you know, first deadline has passed. And I would just hope that that the chair consider maybe keeping us here for 5, 10, 15 minutes longer, and then, you know, we're excused. I'm just not sure how to do this.
And fortunately, we don't have to have a motion to adjourn. We can do that, but the chair can do that by our rules. Representative Volda, you had.
Mr. Chair, I was going to suggest maybe 15-minute recess and see what happens. And we've given it our best, and if that doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least maybe give it another 15 minutes.
I was thinking if we wait till 6:30, if there's nothing by 6:30, we. I mean, I don't want to just to beat on the senators. It's although sometimes we have fun beating on the senators and making fun of them. That's part of the fun of the legislature at times, but in good fun that we go back and forth. But in this case here, it's much too serious of an issue to be doing it for show's sake.
Mr. Chair, can we then recess till 6:30, and then if the Senate's here when we come back at 6:30, we can, you know, conduct the business of the conference committee, and if they're not here, we can all just go do the other things we need to be doing.
Why don't we do that? We'll call a recess till 6:30, and if the Senate doesn't come back by then, we'll adjourn then. Okay. Well, members, we'll call this back to order, and seeing as how we have not, our friends from the Senate have not showed up, hopefully tomorrow the gavel will be in the Senate's hands. Hopefully they will call a meeting and post it and come forward with an offer, and we can hopefully get this settled. I mean, it's not that difficult to come with this, and the idea that we've heard from the Senate side so far is only their offer, only what they passed, nothing more. I think that's not a solution either. So, members, with that, we'll be adjourned. Representative Wokel.
Just curious, if there isn't a meeting tomorrow, is there a path that you kind of mapped out going forward at all that you care to share?
I've reached out to Senator Kiffmeyer, Chair Kiffmeyer, and I've reached out for her to talk to her to see if she's got something on her mind, something that she wants. I've got no response back.
Thank you.
So again, I said hopefully with the fact that tomorrow the gavel will be in the Senate's hand. It goes back and forth every 24 hours. Hopefully Senator Kiffmeyer will call a meeting, and hopefully she'll have an offer for us that we can talk about and possibly vote on and come to a resolution on this. But as it is, we've made two reasonable offers, including the second one, which was to give them their money amount for this to start out with, but guarantee that the money was going to be, that the rest of the money could be spent. And that was turned down by the Senate. So hopefully they'll have an offer that we can digest coming back tomorrow or the next day. So with that, members, we're adjourned.